Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Should we be forcing people to retire at 65 years of age? Is that what we should be doing? Now, let me give you the argument for it. The argument for it in the public sector, obviously, for state jobs, is that you have to make room for new people coming in. So in other words, if Mary or Johnny is still there at 70 years of age and not very productive, you know, and we can't boot them out, you know, they decide when they finish. Well, that's a job being held up for somebody else who's leaving college at 22 or 23 to move into, because the state will only employ a certain amount of people and they'll have recruitment bans or whatever it is, right? So are moratoriums on recruitment. So in other words, that's a good way to get new people in, fresh blood. The same goes, say, for teaching. You know, do you really want a school teacher over the age of 65? Maybe you do. Maybe some of them are wonderful, by the way. Maybe 70 is the new 65. I don't know. Would you want a doctor operating on you at the age of 65 or 70? So, you know, sometimes it's for obvious reasons. But look, some 70-year-olds are just as fit as some 45-year-olds. So should we have a mandatory age of 65 for retirement? Is that a good thing? You are 67 probably in this country, the way things are going. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. So should we just scrap the idea completely of a thing called retirement age? It kind of, when people say retirement age, oh, yeah, have you hit retirement age? 65. I mean, that's not too far away for a lot of us. And that kind of says you're old. You know, you're not much use to us anymore now. You know, off you go. Here's a few quid for you every week there. That'll keep you going, you know, and tea and sweets. 087-188-0008. Should we scrap the notion of retirement completely? Unless people want to retire. Rob, hi, how are you?
Good night, you Niall. You well?
I'm good. Now, Rob, it's a kind of like a milestone in your life nowadays, isn't it? This kind of 65.
Shocking, Niall. It's terrible, yeah. You say 40 and all this, you're giving out hell and all your... And then you're going through this midlife crisis and...
Did you go through that, Rob? Did you?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm still going through it, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm looking to get some of that HRT stuff.
The women are on. Yeah. That'll give you a boost.
I want to try and get a blast of that. I need it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, here's the thing, right? You can go to a doctor and ask for a hormonal test for your bloods, right? Mm. And they say that men's testosterone drops at about 35 to 40 years of age. It starts to go down. But ironically enough, it starts going back up again at 70, and doctors don't know why. That's why seemingly men over the age of 70 get all a little bit frisky again, right? But anyway, and they've no idea why it goes back up again, right?
But because, very good.
Yeah, women's testosterone levels start to drop, as you know, during the menopause, but it doesn't go back up again. And they have very low testosterone levels. Anyway, but see, here's the thing. People think of testosterone as sex, right? You know, libido. But it's not.
Yeah.
Testosterone is about your energy. It's about your well-being. It's about how you feel. So testosterone has a huge impact on your life. So I always say to men, go and get it tested. If you're below the marker is 18. If you're below the marker, you can get, you know, testosterone gels, a patch or different things to give it a little bit of a boost, and it gives you a bit more energy.
I know some doctors here that give injections of it.
That's right, yeah. Because they do say men go through a menopause as well. It's like a menopause. It's called andropause is what it's called.
Oh, no, I'm definitely going through it. That's why I was wondering when I was getting all these hot flushes and everything.
The hot flushes. So, Rob, what about
the mood swings and all.
The mood swings and the dizziness and the fuzzy brain. So, Rob, do you think we should get rid of the retirement age or the notion of a retirement age?
No. It's age. It's a nonsense making people having to stop work at 65 years of age, particularly for the state bodies. And indeed, I suppose, for private sector as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that, I mean, people are working all their lives, and they want to finish up and all. That's all very well if you're doing heavy manual work on your body.
Yeah.
And if you're able to do it.
Yeah.
But someone that's doing office work or something like that, it's not impacting on them anymore.
Yeah.
Like if you're 64 or 60 years of age or 50 years of age.
Yeah, I remember this lad I knew years ago, and he was coming to his 65th birthday, and his wife had died 2 years previous, and he worked in the public sector. A I think he worked in the Department of Social Protection. So he had to retire at 65. And he was dreading it. And when he retired, he was so lonely and so bored. He went and got himself a part-time job anyway in the private sector. But he missed all his workmates. And he said it was like my little family. You know what I mean?
His routine was gone.
Yeah.
You know, his purpose to life as well was gone, you know, getting up in the morning and what have you and going off to work.
Yeah, I know workplaces are not charities either. I understand that. But and there is an argument, Rob, that in the public sector in particular, because the private sector, you can do what you want, and it's sure if the employer thinks you're crap at your job at 70, he'll chuck you out anyway, right? But or he'll give you a he'll give you a, you know, a payoff. But in the public sector, they say 65, and the reason for that is there's only whatever 540,000 jobs in the public sector. So they
want to make way for the young people.
It's to make way for young people. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. But I don't know. No, here's the thing. Now, here's something now that wasn't obviously mentioned in this report, and I'd love to see it. Whether it's anecdotal or not, I'm not 100% on it, Niall. You might be able to check out some of your team there might be. But when a person retires, sometimes because of the shock to the system, they're working all their lives, and it's a shock to their system that all of a sudden they're doing nothing and they're sitting around the house or wherever doing nothing, and they were all organised, and it kills them.
Well, it did. No, they did say Age Action and the Retirement Council of Ireland said forcing workers to retire at 65 has a negative impact on their sense of identity and well-being.
But has it a negative effect on your body?
Oh, it does.
And that it kills you, that you die.
Oh, it could. Yeah, I know people who've just gone downhill.
Heart attacks or what have you?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because they're bored.
Yeah, and you know that suits governments as well. You don't have to pay the old age pension.
Yeah, true. The sooner we die after 65 for the government, the better, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Just a quickie there on that one, Noel. You were talking about over in America, where all the seniors, as they call them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did they get the old age pension? Is it an old age
pension? Yeah, there is a pension over there too.
They all get the old age pension or a state pension.
Yeah, but a lot of them will go to work part time. They're allowed to work so many hours a week without affecting their pension. And so they'll go to work part-time. And the reason they do it is for two reasons. One, for their well-being, because it makes them feel good. And secondly, they get, you know, public or private healthcare, free private healthcare when they work.
Yeah.
So
I think the social welfare here is the same, Noel. You can work 20 hours a week or something.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I still keep your pension.
I think it's 22 or something like that. 22 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something, part-time work.
There you go. There's not a bad idea for some government list, somebody who's running for election or whatever at the moment. Throw that out there, you know, that when you get your pension, you can still work a certain amount of hours. Maybe you can. Jane, would you check that for me? When you're on a pension, can you work a certain amount of hours every week without affecting your pension? I'm not too sure about it, but it's a good idea for someone to throw it out.
I think you can, from what I've been told.
Okay. Why are you preparing for it, Rob? Are you close to it? You're not close to 65, Rob, are you?
No, not really, no. But
yeah,
well, okay. like your good self, you know, forever.
But I'm not even thinking, Rob. When I was 40, I remember I went to a phase at 40. Sorry, Alan and Lily, I'll be witches in a second. I went to a phase at 40 of thinking I was going to die, right? And you know, go to those phases. And I kept saying stupid things to myself, right? If I can make it to Christmas, I'll be happy, right? Sure, look, I'm going away with the kids on the holidays, whatever. You know, we're going away in September. If I can make it to then, I'll be grand. I'll be happy then. You let me go then. And I had this idea in my head constantly all the time. And touch wood, I've been extremely healthy all my life. I've never been in a hospital in my life. Never.
You're very lucky.
Yeah, I'm touching wood here, okay? So what I'm saying to you is, but I've always had this kind of negative outlook. And then that changed when I was about 50 and I became more positive and don't think about that anymore. It's weird as you get older, you don't think about things like that anymore. You know what I mean?
So it's great to be healthy like that as well, Noel.
Mm. Well, now, when I say I'm healthy, you know, I could be fitter.
but you don't really suffer with complaints as such.
No. Thankfully, thank God.
Good man. That's great. That's wonderful to hear, actually.
Mm.
It really is.
Yeah. And how are you, Rob? Do you feel good for your age?
No.
No?
No, I don't have a lot of problems. Well, I don't have problems going on, but I've always had problems health-wise.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
I've always had chest trouble. And, no, it's not at all. I've always had chest trouble and stuff like that.
Yeah. What is it, like asthma or something?
You get asthma and COPD from the smoking and all that. Shouldn't be smoking. You know the usual.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
I'm not smoking now, but anyway.
Good.
What's that testosterone number again?
Well, go to the doctor and ask him. Tell him you want to have your hormones checked, your levels checked.
I want to get the HRT. I wonder if you give me a script for the HRT stuff.
Just lash it onto you. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me just go to Alan. Alan, hi. How are you doing?
I'm good, Niall.
Sorry, we just got into a bit of a chat there. I do apologise. I know we're wasting national radio time, but however. Alan, getting back to the conversation, retirement, should we just get rid of the notion of this kind of milestone of 65?
No, I think you need to put an age limit for people so they know at a certain limit they can stop and take life easy. But we don't do that in this country. We want people just to keep going and keep going until they're dead. Like, for me, once you get to 60, that's what you should be wrapping things up and go traveling or go wherever, do whatever you want to do. Mm. But we don't have that facility in this country for people to have money to do that, unless you're a politician and you've got shitloads of cash in a pension fund. But that's what we should be doing. So my mother died, literally turned 66, she died 17 days later.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
So she never, without saying she never got...
So she never got the pension? No.
Yeah, never got it at all.
That's what happens, Alan. Yeah.
No, that's
the government's dream, isn't it? That's the government's dream that we'd all do that, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, but for me, you work for people who work, and there's plenty of people still alive in this country who worked all their lives and scrimped and scraped all their lives that are still scrimping and scraping to this day because they don't have the money or they couldn't put the money away or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But yet we'd have politicians who are on, we have 3 or 4 or 5 different pensions.
So look at Simon Harris. Simon Harris is now guaranteed a pension of 169,000.
There you go. But then the people who actually are doing the hard work in the streets or in the shops or in the bins or wherever it may be, are the ones that are just trodden on and just expected to go. People, once they get a certain age, should be able to go relax, retire, and enjoy yourself. You've done enough.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing.
But shouldn't there be a choice? Let's say you work in the Department of Social Protection or you work, you know, administration in a hospital or whatever it is, or a teacher, and you're still, this is a fiddle, you're still bright, you're still intelligent, you're still able to do your job. Should you be allowed to stay?
You should be allowed to stay if that's what you want to do, but you should also have the facility that if you don't want to,
that's really what we're talking about. It's the idea of mandatory retirement.
Unless you're in civil service, not civil,
well, mandatory. Well, that's public. A huge part of the population. It's 546,000 people or something like that, isn't it?
But obviously, their mandatory retirement age should be 70, in fairness. But most of them aren't doing the tap most days.
Yeah.
And I know people working in civil service, and I 100% stand by that. Most of them don't do tap most days. I have a buddy who works in civil defence. He goes in and does a small bit. If he didn't show up, no one would even notice. And he'll tell you that himself. He will tell you that himself.
I know people who work in the civil service, and some of them do work hard, but I know a lot of them don't do a tap. You're right.
Yeah. But look, I think you get certain stage like you've worked enough hours, you've paid enough into the system. But unfortunately, our system is all crap, right? But once you pay enough in the system, that's it. You should be able to just shut off. Why you want to go on, do whatever you want to do, let me do it. I know something you mentioned earlier. I think the life expectancy of a guard once he retires is 2 years.
The life expectancy of a guard when he retires is 2 years?
Yeah, it's something like 2 years. 2 years or 3 years.
I know. Should most of guards will retire? Should they only do 30 years, don't they?
Yeah, I've a couple of buddies who fathers were guards and literally within 24 months of retiring, they passed away.
And why is that boredom like or something?
I think that's what it is from the garage. Yeah. So, you know, Jane can obviously Google that. Check. It's something like 2 or 3 years. It's something like that. It's something mad like that. Mm. But look, if I get to that age and I'm still standing up straight, I'm packing a bag and going across Europe or going across Australia, whatever. And two fingers to the Irish government and the Irish taxpayer after that.
Right, okay. Yeah, I'm looking here, by the way, in relation to what Rob was asking earlier on about can you work while you're on a state pension? And let me see. Many hours you can do here. I have it here on Citizens Information. It doesn't actually mention it anywhere on Citizens Information. I don't see it here. Where you can, no, it just talks about the state pension, non-contributory and contributory pensions. It doesn't say...
Just taking there now.
Yeah.
Just jumping in for a second there now. I'd rather have a 65-year-old doctor treat me than a younger fella.
Mm.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
Because he'd have the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you probably got a point. Yeah. Well, hang on. Let me go to Lily as well. Lily. Hang on, Alan. Lily, hi.
Good evening.
Hi, Lily. Say hello to Alan and Rob.
Hi, Alan. Hi, Rob.
Okay.
Hi, Lily. How are you?
Okay. So, Lily, should we have retirement age mandatory at 65?
No.
No.
It should be a choice, and there's a lot of things to take into consideration. There are a lot of people who worked all their life, and they might have their families reared. They might have a partner. They might not. They might be fearful of retirement because, you know, the mental and the physical, if they're mentally and physically fine, I don't think they should retire. I don't think there should be a choice because, I don't know, older people have more common sense. Older people have more experience. Okay, the other side to that is, yeah, there's people who work hard all their life, and when they retire, they just get depressed. Some of them might get depressed, and they're in their house, they're at home, and they feel worthless.
Yeah,
and that can be a mint. That can be something that should bother them. Think that, well, I worked all my life, and now I'm not wanted. Then there's the other side to it. If a person doesn't want to work anymore and they've put enough money in and they feel like they should retire at 60, 65, but it should be an open...
Voluntary, yeah, voluntary retirement.
It should be voluntary because I know an awful lot of people... I knew a lot of people who retired at 65 and all of a sudden they got ill. Now, it might be just that they just got ill and they just seem to have to go on a lot of medication and all the time that they were on the medication, it was really a kind of psychological,
yeah. Yeah.
Psychological, and it was the fact that they just felt worthless. Like, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, you kind of lose your... Yeah, no, I know. You lose a sense of identity. Yeah, I can understand that.
Sense of identity, sense of worth... being, you know, wanted.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying anything about the present president of Ireland, but he's in his 80s and he's still working.
Mm.
Like, is that a different...
Yeah, well, he's civil service. So he's allowed to do it. Why aren't the rest of us? But here's a question, right? So I want to just throw this one to Alan. Because, Alan, if you're, let's say somebody works in a department, we'll say social protection, right? And their job is to do cases every day of people applying for certain, I don't know, grants or whatever it is, right? And, or payments. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, John in the office, who's now 73 years, or, sorry, he's over 60. Well, forget about the retirement age. We say it's gone, right? But he's 70 years of age. And he's now only doing 2 cases a day, where all the other staff, particularly the younger ones, are doing 20 cases a day and making up for what he's not doing. Is that really fair on them, the younger ones, having to make up for the older ones who are probably not doing as much?
That's not retirement. That's a performance issue, and that should be a true.
Yeah, but nobody gets chucked out of the civil service for performance issues. That doesn't happen. That happens in the private sector.
No, that doesn't happen, and that's the last thing about the civil service is you can be incompetent too.
Yeah,
and,
but isn't that why they have the 65 age in there? It's to kind of say to people, well, look, you know.
But what you can't say, a lot of those older people, right? A lot of older people are very good with people, right? We see nowadays that most young people need to do a course to understand how to answer a phone because they get triggered by someone speaking directly to them. And that's where older people could go into the likes of retailers and work in retail, right? If that's what they want to do. But it's not what they want to do. It's a necessity that they have to do because they can't afford, whether it be cost them or everything else, so they end up having to work when maybe they don't want to. Like, we don't have retirement villages here like they have in the States, so where people could live in a little village, there's a bingo on or everything, and that keeps that sense of community further, but we don't have that here. Because everything is here is you pay your tax to a certain degree, and then if you kick the bucket out, you go as quickly as possible. We literally strip everything out of people we possibly can to get the taxes out and get money out. That's essentially what our economy seems to be built. It's not about people at all. It's about how much can you pay back. So life's about enjoying it at some stage.
Yeah, it's odd the way we run the world, isn't it? And the way the world was set up and the way that we have to work. And of course we have to, because we all have to play a role in the world that we live in, you know, and providing food and machinery and all sorts of things. And so it is kind of odd the way we've set up the world, that we have to work a certain way to enjoy the world that we actually work in, if you know what I mean. There has I often think there must be another way. Is there another way whereby they could just give us money? And you know,
where's the money going to come from?
But then I start thinking of the drawbacks of that are there are some people that then just won't bother working. You know what I mean? And then we'll have no food. So,
but we shouldn't be in a position where no one does. The only people that shouldn't be working are people who are seriously ill, disabled if they physically can't work. But outside of that, there should be no one who doesn't work or doesn't contribute.
Because
people we have contributing, the more people that can retire at an earlier age.
Oh, it's a social contract. I understand the social contract. But yeah, no, I get that. But I often think there has to be a better way because money is just a number. It really is just a number. And I think once you're contributing, i.e. you're working, you're building or you're cleaning or you're making computer programs or whatever it is you do for a living. I'm not a socialist by any stretch of the imagination, but I always believe we should get more than we need in money. We should be happy and we should be able to take a nice holiday when we get it every year. I feel so sorry for people who work really hard and can't afford a holiday in the summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. Jane, stop pointing at your... Why is my producer pointing at herself? Jane, you choose to save. She's a saveaholic. She's a nutcase.
She can't take it with her. She can't take it with her, so enjoy it.
She's saving for a mortgage, she said. So she...
She ain't getting one, so...
You want to see her out there? She's like eating her spaghetti and beans and... like she eats the cheapest food you will ever find, you will ever see. And I think she finds it in a bin somewhere, some of the stuff she comes in with. And she doesn't do anything, doesn't go anywhere, doesn't go out, because she's saving like a crazy person. I have to say, hats off to her. No, she's to be admired. She is to be admired. You know?
Good girl, Jane.
Yeah, go, Jane. Go, Jane. Good girl.
Good girl, Jane. Yeah. Girl power.
So Lily, let's get rid of this 65 then altogether, this idea. So if it's voluntary, in other words, as Alan said, if you want to, the facility to get a pension and what have you should be there for you. But if you don't want to, keep going.
Yes, exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're healthy and if you're happy, why not?
Yeah.
Somebody... And have a choice. And if you want to retire, by all means do. And as you said there, totally agree with you. You said they should give us money to be able to go on holidays and all that kind of thing. Like, I've been out of the country once and once only, and I've never had a holiday in my life. I'm 64 now. No, but it's different circumstances. My husband left me with 6 kids, and I put everything into the kids to bring them up.
So well done to you. I mean, that's admirable, Lily. You know what I mean?
But you
definitely deserve a holiday now.
Yeah. So are they all grown up now? Are they all grown up, Lily?
They're all grown up now, and they're all living near me, and they're so so good to me. I always told my kids that when their dad left, I said we're going to have to. You know, we have to compromise. We have to
work together. Yeah, compromise. Yeah.
Yeah. So my kids ate porridge and potatoes for 3 years of their life when they were small kids. But seeing that, they now are doing great, and they're very
well. You, Lily, you deserve a holiday. You should have a holiday.
I deserve. I'm going to
definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks, guys. I'm going to. I think I'll write a little letter to the new Taoiseach and say to him, please send me on a holiday.
would you not even think about maybe going to the Canaries for a week with one of your friends, your girlfriends or whatever, or I don't know if you have a boyfriend now maybe or something?
No, I never did go, but my kids are always saying you have to go on a holiday, you have to go.
Oh, you have to go, Lily. You have to go on a holiday.
You have to.
Yeah.
I used to bring the kids to Inniscone when they were all small. But I think
it's Sligo.
Yeah, in Sligo,
in Sligo. And I always said to the kids, it doesn't matter where you go on holidays, it's what you make of it. Like, it's
that's
a
huge. Right.
Yeah.
And we had to bring our own food on the bus and pulling and all the butter being melted by the time we got down. But we laughed about it, but they had a good time. I always said to the kids, it doesn't matter what you wear. It doesn't matter if you have Nikes or you have just ordinary shoes. It's how you carry yourself. And have respect for others, have respect for yourselves. And, you know, I always told them that. Like, and I told them if the guards ever came to the door with any news other than they're dead, I would make them dead. I would.
Well, Lily, you to be admired raising 6 children on your own.
Thanks a million.
Yeah, and the husband, what? He just walked out the door, did he?
My sorry?
The husband.
Yeah, he upped and left, and he had the gall to come back to where we're living. He's only living about 15 minutes away. He asked me one time for a reconciliation. I said, a reconciliation for what?
I can remember the last time the grass grew. Absolutely. Let me go to Ed. Ed, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, Ed? How are things?
Good. Ed, is it time to get rid of the mandatory retirement age?
Absolutely. I think it's absolutely, totally discrimination.
Ageist, is it?
Absolutely, 100%. And the reason is, and I'll just give you a quick synopsis of my life. I'm in the prison service.
Okay.
Or sorry, I was in the prison service.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a pen and paper ready. I was born on the 5th of July, 1962.
Okay. Just before me? Year before me?
Yep.
Yeah.
I joined the prison service in the 1990s, which means I would have had to retire at 60.
Yeah.
And that would have been the 25th of July, 2022.
Right.
So at that time, in 2021, I had my time done. I had my 30 years done.
Yeah.
And I was called into the Director General's office. I was actually doing something very heroic. I'm not looking for medals here. But,
I'll give you a medal. Like, can you tell me what you did?
Yes, obviously. I was trained and I'm a certified INHN, which is an incident negotiator and a hostage negotiator.
Okay.
I was trained by members of the Scottish and Prison Service and the FBI.
Okay.
And I was appointed a hostage negotiator. So I was asked, will I take charge of a certain landing? A landing in Mountjoy meant a wing,
yeah.
Three floors.
Yeah, okay.
And this was primarily housed members or affiliations or comrades of a certain family group who are based in Dubai, who are kind of all...
Yeah, we know where you're going there, yeah, okay.
So anyway, so I ran that for 2 or 3 years and everything ran smoothly. Sometimes things would kick off. The governor would say, Ed, get in there, sort it out quick.
Yeah.
I would go in, I would negotiate between certain factions and everything would grab. So one day I was called in and I said, oh, you're doing a great job. Thanks very much. And I actually got a medal.
Right.
And again, I'm not being proud of you.
You could have saved somebody's life because, you know, it all could have kicked off, obviously.
Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Well
so
done.
Then I decided, when I spoke to the DG at the time, I said, listen, by the way, I'm going to retire. And she said, why? Why? And a lovely woman. And everybody knows Karen McCafferty. She's an absolutely fantastic director general. And she's a lovely, lovely person. And she goes, oh, you can stay for another year. And I said, listen, Karen, every time I come in here, you're telling me, Ed, you're doing a great job, fantastic job. And I will come in here on the 24th of July, and there could be a mass riot, there could be a mass standoff, there could be a whatever situation. You're going to say, Ed, will you sort that out? And I'll sort it out. And then you're going to pat me on the back and I'm going to go home.
With another medal.
I'm going to have me dinner. I'm going to have me dinner on the 24th of July.
Yeah.
I'm going to have me dinner and I'm going to have a go to sleep. I'm going to walk in the next day and your governor's going to be at the gate with his hand out like a policeman. Stop.
Yeah.
You're 60 today. You're too old to do the job.
Oh,
go home.
I know. That's awful. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's
and
right.
I regard myself, I'm a swimmer. I'm a walker. I'm a runner. I'm very fit. I'm very active. I'm very proactive in solutions, negotiations, empathy, rehabilitation.
And by the way, you still sound, as far as your mind is concerned, you still sound fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, I'm turning, coming up to 62 now.
Yeah.
And when she says, oh yeah, but that's not for another 9 months. And I was, yes, but in 9 months' time, you're going to send me home feeling like,
yeah, with a watch and a handshake.
I don't want, absolutely.
Yeah.
And a little certificate to say, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I said, and she goes, well, why are you going now? I said, because I'm going on my terms.
Yeah, good man.
Because if you send me home on the 25th of July, 2022, I will probably feel so depressed.
Yeah.
So unwanted. That I found out many, like many other unfortunate prison officers who I've seen who had no plans, and I'll end up in a barstool.
Yeah. So what do you do? So what do you do now, Ed? What are you doing?
Yeah. No. What I do is I had a plan. I says, right, I'm going back. I'm going to. I rescue dogs. I love dogs.
Yeah.
So I rescue dogs, foster dogs. So I spend my time now still going to the gym, still swimming, still walking dogs every morning. got big into gardening, got big into nature studies, got big into local communities, giving up the area, stuff. So I have a purpose to get out of bed.
Good.
But unfortunately, a lot of people, because I
they
had
don't.
That plan
yeah.
9 months before I retired. But unfortunately, I agree with, there was a caller earlier who said, you know, they feel unwanted, rejected.
Yeah, lose a sense of identity.
And their self-esteem drops. And so I think that...
Now, can I ask you a question? If there was no retirement, mandatory retirement age, would you be still working in the prison service?
I'd be still working. I would be still working.
But here's the thing I want to say to you. Can I say something to you, right? You sound happy now. You sound happy.
Oh, yeah, come here. I am happy now because I've no other choice. You know, but I would love to be getting up now. I would love to be not talking to you, going to bed early because I'm at 7 a.m. to be running a prison.
Right.
You know.
Well, we need people like you in the prison.
Despite all this, I love my job.
Yeah.
And the people there are fantastic.
Yeah.
And 90% of the prisoners are fantastic. You know.
Okay, so you're saying get rid of the mandatory retirement age and let people retire when they feel they need to retire.
Absolutely. But just on that point, as I said to the DG on that day, she kept saying, oh, would you not stay? And I said, well, tell you what, will you extend my contract for 2 more years? And I'll stay for 2 more years. And in that 2 years, give me a couple of good men that I can train in to take over me.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, no, I can't do that unless you're a governor. And I said, hey, well, promote me to governor.
What age does a governor have to retire at?
Well, no, a governor has to retire at 60, but it depends on the level. If you're a governor one, you can apply for an extension, and they normally give you a 2-year extension.
All right. Well, do you ever stay there for a second? Okay, that's a good reason, by the way, to get rid of the mandatory age, because I think you sound like you had a wonderful job and you're really good at it. But it also sounds like you're happy now, so you've made something of it. Okay, but stay there, because Danielle...
Niall, how's it going?
How you doing, Danielle? There you go. Ed, fit as a fiddle, he's happy as the flowers in May now, but he could have went another way if he had a mandatory retirement when he was 60.
Absolutely, because doesn't it give people something to do?
Yeah.
Rather than, if they don't have another plan.
Yeah.
I say get rid of it altogether. Let people do what they want for once.
And would you... I don't think you're anywhere close to retirement age. I'd like
no,
to
I'm not. I'm no. a bit younger than that.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Do you ever think about it? Do you ever think about, what am I going to do when I'm 65? I'd be bored out of my head.
Do you know something? It actually... It hurts my head when I do that, when I think about it.
Mm.
I try not to think ahead too much.
I can't imagine not working.
Same. Do you know...
And I love what I do. I really love what I do because I'm one of the luckiest people in the world. I get to talk. My job is to sit chatting to people.
You know what I mean? Niall, you do the best job in Ireland.
Ah, thanks very much, Danielle. You're just saying that.
No, I actually genuinely mean that.
Isn't it a great job? And, you know, people say, oh, you're lucky. Well, no, it was hard work to get to this point. But what I'm saying is... And it is hard work to do. People don't sometimes think that is hard work. We have to, you know, decide what we're going to talk about and, you know, Jane kind of and all that. So there's a lot.
Oh, I know it.
Yeah, and when you're, not so much for these type of topics, but other topics, when it's political or whatever else. And I do the podcast, as you know, during the day too, which is hard work. But in saying that, I love doing it because I love talking to people. I find it so fascinating.
That gives you a sense of positivity and you know you're able to do it.
Mm.
Why would you want to leave it?
I don't. I want to talk.
Exactly.
I want to talk to people forever.
Yeah.
But maybe in different ways. It might necessarily be on the radio.
But you've so much options now. You don't have to retire at 65. Nobody should have to.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's actually discrimination. And ageist, so it is.
Yeah. Let me just go to Niamh as well on this. Niamh, hi, how are you? Danielle says it's discrimination and ageist. And Ed kind of feels the same way too. He was happy to go on for a few more years.
He's fitter than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And he sounds like he was brilliant at his job and that's what we need.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the prison service. We need people like Ed who have a passion for their job. You know, it's all well and good for some people who want to retire, who perhaps have a partner or a wife or a husband at home and they have plans. Some people have nobody. And their job is their life, and their job is their social setting, and the people, their colleagues, are the people that maybe the only people they talk to all day. And then they might be going home to an empty house or whatever. And if they're forced to retire, it could be absolutely detrimental to their mental health.
It's coming soon for you. It's coming soon for you, Niamh.
Is it not? Don't you try and put me in the same bracket as you. No.
So what
I'm a Karen. That's what I am. I'm the same age as Karen.
Oh, okay. I know. Okay, somebody says, by the way, here, Niall, you only do 12 hours a week. Would you give up out of that? You hear me on the radio for 12 hours. We have to be here 2 hours beforehand. And then I do the podcast from 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm working on that till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I actually do about 8-9 hours a day. Get over yourself. 3 hours a day. Wouldn't it be great if you only had to do 3 hours a day? So Joe Duffy does that. Joe does an hour and 15 minutes.
You've only a few people to help you, like.
A few? I've so only Jane. Oh, no. On different nights, we've a different researcher comes in, you know.
Like, believe me, it's a hard job what you do. I don't know why they're giving out there to you.
I'm going to say something to you. It's not a hard job because I love doing it. If I didn't love doing it, it'd be hard. And I've had loads of people kind of stand in or try to replace me or whatever when I'm away or on holidays, whatever. And they go, oh, don't ever ask me to tell that again. It's so hard to talk for 3 hours. And, you know, and what happens when you run out of things to say? And you know, you have to be careful what you say and be careful what people say in case they, you know, we get sued or whatever it happens.
They're just afraid to speak the truth then, aren't they?
Yeah, would you like to do it? Would you like to be a talk show host?
I need practice, but I think I might be able to do it at some stage.
Niamh did it one night here. She was the host here.
It was great fun. That was great.
She was brilliant. I remember that night.
she didn't quite plan it. She was just put into the position. Ed, you'd make a good talk show host. You're a good chatter.
No, I don't think I'd like to do that. What I would love to do is I would have loved them. I really mean this. I would love the at my time to say, look, we can't keep you on as a prisoner, sir, but how about you could come in 2 or 3 days a week, sit down with the prisoners who need to talk about rehabilitation, about changing their life, what direction they should do, how they should break away from the groups without being, the torn coat. And I would be able to advise them on what to do. Now, I feel quite capable of doing that as a civilian employee of the prison service.
Was there a case when you seen lads?
I was over 60. Because I would be over 60, I would be prohibited. And the unions wouldn't allow that.
Can I ask you a question, Ed? Was there a case where there were lads who were members of gangs? I just wanted to ask you a question. Was there a case where there was lads who were members of, say, gangs? And they were hard men, right? But they have to be the hard man, otherwise they're seen as being weak. Absolutely.
Niall, on the Star, the Sunday World, the RT News, the broadcasts or whatever, you see these guys and they are big men and they are this and that the other. But I have seen, and I'm absolutely not going to mention any names or any identify any people, but I've done many a night duty, and I have walked around and looked through the little spy hole, you know, checking on the prisoners to make sure they're all right. And I have seen the toughest of toughest walking around the yard, sitting there, side of bed, looking at their children's photographs, looking at the boys' photographs, reading letters, and crying their eyes out.
Yeah, no, I'm sure, yeah.
And I have actually gone to my boss and says, listen, come here, just give me another man stand outside the door. I want to talk to this guy. Because I would be afraid that he might
harm themselves.
Do some self-harm.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would go in and I would have a cigarette with them, have a cup of tea with them. I would talk to them and they would plead with me, don't say, tell anybody around here. And I would say no.
By the way, are you still allowed to smoke in the cells?
No, they can smoke in the cell. That's their home.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah, it's not classed as a workplace. It's their home.
So they can smoke in the cell. They can't smoke on the landings. Yeah. They can smoke in the yard. They can smoke in a recreational hall. Yeah. They can smoke in the lake.
Niamh, what? I mean, what? Just, I'm going off on a tangent here, but what?
I wouldn't give two shits if you were smoked in the
Okay, but look, there you go. Ed loved his job too. I love my job. Niamh, what was your dream job? What would be your dream job that you think you would love? That maybe you will get it someday. What, or are you in it?
No, I'm not in it. I wish I'd stayed in journalism.
In journalism?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what, printer, radio or TV?
I was in print. I was trained. I qualified in print, but I would have loved to have gotten into radio. I'd love to have not necessarily done your job. I don't think I'd be able to do that, but I would love to do maybe Jane's job. That's what I would have loved.
Yeah.
The research side of it. I don't think I have the personality that you have to sort of...
Well, I think you have a very good... I think you have a very good personality.
No, I wouldn't have the patience you have. You know, some people come on and they'd say something, I'd probably snap back. You don't. you manage to say something, I'd probably say, oh, will you cop yourself second on?
Go and ask yourself. Something.
Yeah, just please stop. You know, you're talking...
Well, in fairness, Niamh, if you've been listening for the last 30 years that I've been on radio, I have done that to people.
I know, yeah, but very rarely. I do it on a daily basis if I was in a mood. But I'd love to, that's my regret, that...
Well, you should come in here some night with Jane and just see, would you like it?
I'd love that.
Yeah, Jane will organise it if you want to come in some night and see if you'd like it. Just get involved.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Love that, yeah.
Okay, I get Jane to organise that. Danielle, sorry, what would you like to do? What's your dream job?
Journalism as well.
What?
Journalism as
well. Oh, journalism as well?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. And print, radio, TV, which?
I'm going kind of radio now, kind of behind the scenes, bossing people around.
Oh, bossing people around.
Yeah.
That's one thing I have an inability to do. I'm not good at bossing people around. And they say, by the way, you know, to be, you know, really successful in life, you have to be a good leader and be able to boss people around. I feel bad doing that to people. Jane will tell you, I'm a pussycat. I'm the easiest person in the world to work with.
I'm about to start my master's in journalism in September.
Oh, very good. Congratulations. Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you talk to Jane too.
I will indeed. No hassle. Because I've been doing bits and pieces with local radio stations.
Oh, okay. Which radio station are you work? Have you been doing with?
I'm saying nothing.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Is it up north of Dublin?
No, it's in Galway.
Oh, in Galway. All right, okay. I know the lads over in Galway Bay and all those places. Yeah, they're a lovely bunch of people over there in Galway Bay FM.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.